We'll begin today with Sanchi's Bhajan, Takale Manawe Kirpala Piare Tai. This is on page 78. Oh, my mind, look at the beloved Kirpal. He who had the darshan of the Guru drank the cup of the Amrit Nam. Oh, mind, become determined to have the support of Kirpal. Whoever made his master sit in his heart finished the cycle of 84. O my mind, keep the love for the glimpses of the Master. Within whose heart the love of the Guru will come, for him the door of Sach Khand will be opened. O mind, memorize the hints of the true Guru. In a moment he removes the pains of the suffering ones. The ocean of love cannot be stopped. When he showers grace, the Lord liberates in a moment. The story of the love of the Master cannot be told. What praise can I do of the true beloved? Tell them, O Ajaib, of the glimpses of Kirpal. O my mind, look at the beloved Kirpal.
Sakale manawe kirpala piare tai. Sakale manawe kirpala piare tai. Takale manawe kirpala piare tai. Takale manawe kirpala piare tai. Darshan guru da jisne kita. Amrit naam piala pita. Darshan guru da jisne kita. Amrit naam piala pita. Bakale manawe kirpala sahare tai. Takale manawe kirpala piare tai. Takale manawe kirpala piyari. Jisne vidila vicha guru nubetalia. Gera charasi vala mukalia. Jisne vidila vicha guru nubetalia. Gera charasi vala mukalia. Rakale manawe guru pyara nijare tai. Takale manawe kirpala pyare tai. Takale manawe kirpala piare. Guru da piare jisa hire deche ainga. Sacha kanda da guhakula jainga. Guru da piyara jisa hira deche ainga. Sacha kanda da buha kula jainga. Ratale manawe sache guru de isharitai. Takale manawe kirpala piare tai. Takale manawe kirpala piare tai. Dukia de dukke ikapala chani varida. Daliana jale ora samundu piarida. Dukia de dukkha ika palacha nivardida. Taliana jave ora samunda pyardida. Daya jade hove ikapala vichatare sai. Takale manawe kirpala piare tai. Takale manawe kirpala piare Dasina kahani jai guru de piardi. Karikisi fatme sache dil dardi. Dasina kahani jai guru de piardi. Karakisi fatme sache dil dardi. Dasale ajai bakir pale jain jari tai. Takale manawe kir pala piare tai. Takale manawe kir pala piare tai.
The story of the love of the Master cannot be told. What praise can I do of the True Beloved? Tell them, O Ajab, of the glimpses of Kripal. O my mind, look at the beloved Kripal. And this is an announcement for the retreat in July, 6 weeks from now. There'll be a 5-day meditation retreat celebrating Sanchi's life. It'll be Monday, July 2nd through Friday, July 6th. Initiates are welcome to attend any of the meditation sittings, and the schedules and the satsang and meditation times will be at the book table. And local initiates who plan to come and take meals, please let us know so we know how many to cook for, and guests wishing to attend, needing overnight accommodations, please let the ashram know well ahead of time. And we're going to continue to be announcing this, of course, at the satsang. And let me just add, this is the big event at this little ashram at the end of the dirt road. A lot of people are going to be coming. A lot of people will be staying here. Everybody's going to have a great time. Everybody's going to get a lot of benefit. And also, a lot of people are going to put in a lot of work into this to make all that happen. And anything that you can do, if you're coming to participate, to help out with letting us know about all these things, please, please, please help out. Okay, we're continuing in our reading of the book, In Search of the Gracious One. And we now have reached the point in Sanchi's stories where finally, the Beloved has come. Master Kripal came to him, just as Sanchi was told, he will come to you. And we'll pick up in the reading here. We're going to begin with the words of one of Sanchi's bhajans, Satguru Sona Merda. O friends, my beautiful Satguru is Kripal. He is merciful on the poor. I was separated for so many births and was searching for the dearly beloved. May I meet the perfect master so that I may go across. Now I have got the husband, the emperor, who takes care of me. O friends, wandering from door to door, I became very crazy. I did not get any knower of the heart. No one heard my plea. O friends, now I have got my beloved, the support of my heart, the treasure of Shabda. I did the practices of water, performing the austerities, and bathed in the places of pilgrimage. I worshipped in the temples and the holy places, but no one shared the pain. O friends, my beloved has come and has put me on the path and makes me see him. Listen, O beloved Kirpal, make everyone have the beautiful darshan. The life of Ajaib is full of bad qualities. Take him across. O friends, the true saint has come. My husband has come, and he loves me. So continuing, Sanchi says, right from childhood, I had had the desire that my groom should come to marry me. I had the desire that the form of Almighty God, who was going to marry me, should come to my home himself, like the groom does. Even though my mother had told me that a man does not get married to another man, still I had that desire. So Kirpal came, and at that time he came like a groom. In India, when the groom goes to marry the bride, he brings clothes and ornaments. And in the same way, when Kirpal came, he brought a ring for me, which was made by his own earnings. He brought clothes for me, and he married me. He did everything that was required according to the Indian tradition. He gave me that ring, he gave me the clothes, and in that way he fulfilled my desire. He quenched the thirst which I had had for ages and ages. The male, the Almighty Lord for whom I was waiting, came in the form of the Shabd, and he married my soul. As I said, I had not known about Master Kirpal. I had not known anyone who had told me about him. But when he came and I exchanged my glance with him, I knew that he was my beloved husband. I became overwhelmed in his love and joy, and I told him, Master, as I was born from the womb of my mother, still I am the same. I am as pure as a virgin, and I have come to you with all my purity and virginity. And then this yearning came to me, how can I make myself acceptable to him? In India, the wives are taught that it is up to the husband how he wants to keep his wife. The wife always has to surrender to the will of the husband. They are taught that no matter what the husband does, the wife always has to accept whatever comes from the husband, and she should separate from the husband only when death separates her. So, like that, when I met my beloved husband, this yearning came to me. How can I be his wife? How can I make myself acceptable to him? I did not ask him anything. I did not even care whether he was a renunciate or he was married. But as soon as I saw him, I knew that he was the one for whom I had been yearning since my childhood. And then I thought, what should I do? How do I make myself acceptable to him? Will he like me or not? He was the husband of my soul. And what can I tell you about my union, my meeting with him? My condition was like what Guru Ram Das described in his writing, where he says, O Lord, I am your disciple, and I have fallen at your feet. I have taken refuge in you, and my soul is indulging with the oversoul, and I am getting so much pleasure and happiness. The union of husband and wife in this physical plane leaves only unrest and dissatisfaction. But the happiness and pleasure one gets when the soul is meeting with the oversoul cannot be described. When the soul goes and meets with the Shabd, that happiness, that satisfaction cannot be described outwardly. It is something worth experiencing. The stories of love are untold. One cannot tell the stories of love because when love comes into the heart, the lips close. One cannot say anything. It is something worth experiencing. If one is yearning for someone from one's very childhood, and if one had gone to so many different places and done so many things looking for that person. If that person appears and one meets him, just imagine what one's condition would be. How can one describe that moment? One will only be amazed. One will only be surprised, and one will find no words to describe that meeting, that moment when one meets one's beloved. Even now, in the villages of India, the old customs and traditions are prevailing, and it is the custom that when a girl is married, with whatever name her in-laws call her, she will be happy and not mind. She has become of her husband. For that reason, she doesn't mind being called by any name that her in-laws call her. In the same way, in the path of the masters, when one has become of the master, when one has become the dear disciple of the master, one should be pleased with whatever one's master calls you. One should be satisfied and content with whatever the master gives. Whether he gives one pain or happiness, one should be happy in that. The master always tries to give as much happiness as possible, but if any pain comes from his side, even then one should not complain, and one should always remain happy, like that girl who does not complain when she is married. In the path of the masters, loyalty to the master is needed most. In Rajasthan, even now, it is the custom that if a married woman is coming from one direction and she sees that a man is coming from the other direction, and if it is likely that his shadow might be cast upon her body, she would wait for a minute so that she does not even take the shadow of another man. In the same way, the disciple should also remain loyal to the master and should always remain content with whatever the master gives. So when my beloved master came, I told him, "Master, I have neither seen the Waheguru, nor have I seen the Akal Purush, the timeless Lord. I have not seen anyone, and I don't care to see anyone because I have seen you. I do not believe in any god. I believe only in you. I know that you have come in this desert to quench my thirst, and ever since childhood, I was longing for you. Now I want to catch hold of you, and I want to be of you. Whatever you tell me, I will do that. And whatever you give me, I will be content with that." In truth, when we come to the Master, we should become like that girl. We should catch hold of the Master, like that girl catches hold of her husband, and does not mind how her in-laws treat her. In the same way, when we come to the Master, we should catch hold of the Master, and we should be content in his will. We should catch hold of the Master and be content in his will. So in that way, I felt that if I'd understood the Master, if I did what he told me to do, then everything was with me. When I first saw him, when we first exchanged glances, I also told him, "I do not know what to ask from you, what to say to you, because my mind, my brain, my heart, everything is empty. I do not have any questions." I did not ask him any question. I did not even care to ask him whether he was married or had children or what he did. I said, "Master, somebody asks for milk or worldly riches from you. Somebody asks for sons and children from you. But I only ask for your darshan. I only ask for your grace." The Master smiled and became happy. And he said, "I have come here only because I saw that your within is empty. Your mind is empty. There are so many people around me who are mental wrestlers. He used to call the learned people mental wrestlers, and he said, "There are so many of them around me, but I have come all this way only because I saw that there is an empty place. There is a heart which is for me, and that is why I have come to you." This is the reality that at that time my beloved master embraced me. The people who witnessed that came, and they touched my body, and they sang this hymn, "Fortunate are the souls, fortunate are the jivas, who are embraced by the Master." So, because I was hungry for his grace, and he had the grace, he showered grace on me. I was burning like a fire, and he had Nam with him. He caused the rain of Nam to shower, and he cooled down my heated heart. And we will leave off there. And we're going to continue reading in a talk that we began last week. This is a talk that Master Kripal gave in February of 1955. This is on the occasion of his birthday celebrations at Sawan Ashram. And as I read, when I was reading last time, I saw that there were many places where Master would give quotes of sayings of one saint or another. And as I'm reading, I can't just say, "And now another line from the hymn." So when I come to the quotes this time, I'm going to actually say, quote, this, and then unquote. So you'll know when I'm quoting from someone and when Master himself is talking. So, picking up, we begin. Master says, "Saints tell us that there is only one God of the entire universe. The Upanishads say the same thing. Truth is one, though sages call it variously. He is the God of the whole creation, and not of one religion or the other. There is, in fact, no difference between Karta of the Hindus and Karim, or the Merciful, of the Muslims, and Karta means the Creator, or Razak, the Sustainer, of the Hindus, and Rahim, the Compassionate, of the Muslims. All these names are descriptive of the various attributes of God and were coined by sages and saints, rishis and munis, of different denominations in their own respective languages. The nameless reality is one, but responds to the calls of all by any name by which any individual may invoke that power. The nameless one has many names. He attends to whatsoever name he is addressed. One must carefully avoid the dangers of doubt and skepticism. God alone need be worshipped and adored. He is the God of all, and each one is his manifestation. The same life impulse works in all, and each is lighted by the same light. The entire humanity constitutes a single class by itself." And a quote from Guru Gobind Singh, "Some keep shaven crowns, while others robe themselves in flame-colored apparel. Still others call themselves yogis. Again, some are engaged in the quest of Brahma, the Creator, while others perform penances and strict austerities. Some are Hindus and some are Turks, while others follow either Imam Rafzi or any other saint. With all these differences in nomenclature, they, at the root, are all one. To wit, they are men born of and embedded in God. Call him the Creator, or the Merciful, or the Donor, or Rahim, for that makes no difference at all. Take it as a settled truth, and be not therefore bewildered by diversity in names. They all serve and worship the same God, the same Lord and Master of the universe. All of them manifest the image of the same God, and exist simply by his love and light alone. Many a name has the Nameless One, addressed by any he doth attend. And that's end quote. The remembrance of God is the main thing before us to find our way back to God. The purpose of all devotional exercises and pilgrimages is the same. The human body is the veritable temple of God. There is one, and only one, common objective of the various forms of devotion, as prescribed in different scriptures: how to love the Lord and how to realize him. The various writers in different times and in different climes have, in their own way, pointed out the path leading to God. It may be likened to a game of archery in which so many archers participate and discharge their arrows at the common target. An Indian saint says, quote, "Each one in his own way talks to us of his own beloved. O Rajab, the target is one, but the archers are countless." In the Holy Quran, the sacred scripture of the Mohammedans, it is mentioned that from time to time different forms of worship were designed by master souls according to the needs of the age in which they lived. Omar Khayyam, a great Persian Sufi poet, says, quote, "The temples and the mosques, or the churches and synagogues, are alike for the worship of God. The gong and the conch perpetually produce therein the life-giving strains of music. The arch in the mosques, the cross in the churches, the altar in the temples, and the rosary in the synagogues are just different symbols for the worship of the divine beloved." End quote. Even in these places of worship, whatsoever their denomination may be, one has to enter into the laboratory of the human body, which in the truest sense of the word is the temple of God. Real worship and devotion is purely an internal and mental process, unconnected with and independent of any and everything outside the human frame. All that is required is purity of mind. With an ethical background, one can worship anywhere under the sky, for the whole world, then, is a vast temple of God, for there is no place without him, including the specific places of worship described above. In fact, wherever devotion kneels in humility, that becomes sanctified. In the Holy Quran, it is mentioned that the universe is his. Turn wherever one may, east or west, north or south, and one would face God, for he is both omnipresent and omniscient. For the ignorant, God lives only in man-made temples, or mosques, or churches, but the really awakened find him only within themselves, the God-made temple of the human body. Maghrabi tells us, quote, "Thy beloved is within thee, and thou art ignorant of it, and goeth to find him without from place to place. To go to a mosque in search of one who is the very soul of thy soul is nothing short of a tragic waste of time. The ignorant bow down before a mosque, while the wise are engaged in purifying the mind, which is the throne of God himself. The former is sham tinsel, and the latter is the actual reality. End quote. The true Kaaba, or the altar of worship, is therefore the Satguru, as Tulsi Sab says. Woe be to thee, O indweller of the God-made mosque, for thou goest for worship to the man-made temple. End quote. And Kabir also speaks thus. As Kabir proceeded on a pilgrimage to Mecca, God met him on the way. He quarreled with him and inquired as to who bade him to do this. And again Kabir said, "This body is the veritable temple of God. In it alone shines the light of God." And Christ also said, "The body is the temple of God." Hafiz of Shiraz speaks in the same terms. "The object of going to the temple or the mosque is to meet thee, O Lord. Except this, there is no other idea in it." And again he says, "Say not that Kaaba is better than a temple. In fact, that place alone is the best, where one may witness the glory of his beloved." Guru Gobind Singh, the 10th Guru of the Sikhs, beautifully describes it in this way. Quote, "There is no difference between the dera and a mosque, as both serve the same purpose. All mankind is just one, and the idea of diversity is but a myth. The same God has created the angels and the spirits, as also the Turks and the Hindus, in fact, men of all denominations. Each of them, in his own way, manifests the one Creator. All of them have similar eyes and ears and bodies. Their apparel is made out of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Allah of the Muslims and Alak of the Hindus are names of the same entity. The Puranas and the Quran speak of him alone. In fact, all religious scriptures existing on earth point to the same one reality." End quote. The scriptures tell us that there is no need for any quest without. Through the grace of a master, the guru, the Lord is made manifest within. All places of worship are made up of water and clay. When God is omnipresent, why need one seek him in temples and mosques? He's right within us. Nay, he is the very soul of our soul. But this truth dawns only when a Sant Satguru helps in bringing it home to us through the actual experience. Guru Arjan says, quote, "Some address him as Ram, some as Kuda. Some call him Gosain, and others Allah. He is the Karan and the Karim and the Kirpal Dara Ram. He is the Creator and the Merciful, giving out his merciful glances all over the world. Some go for a bath to the sacred rivers, while others go for a Hajj, a pilgrimage to Mecca. Some worship him, and some bow their heads in silent adoration. Some engage in the study of the Vedas, and some read Quran and the Bible. Some put on white raiment. Some wear blue apparel. Some call him a Hindu, and others a Turk. Some smear their bodies with ashes, and some with sandal paste. But, O Nanak, one who has known his will by becoming a conscious co-worker with him, he alone has solved the mystery of God." End quote. Again, the sacred lore of the Hindus is in Sanskrit or in Hindi, and that of the Mohammedans is in Arabic or in Persian, while the Bible of the Christians is in Latin and English. The various expositions, the commentaries and annotations of these are in the different languages in common vogue from time to time. All these scriptures, whatever their languages, for languages count not with God, simply serve the purpose of creating in us a desire, a yearning, a craving, and a love for God. These are the means, not the end, for God is an unwritten law and unspoken language. He defies all tongues, for none can reach him. No particular tongue has any special merit, for it is just a vehicle of expression and nothing else, so that one may narrate and listen to the stories of God. Hafiz, therefore, beautifully says, quote, O Hafiz, in the matter of love, there's no difference between Turkish and Arabic or other languages. The tales of love may be narrated in either of the languages as may be known to thee. End quote. The various lands and the various peoples are just like various flowers of the same garden, though gifted with different colors and shades of fragrance. Living in the lap of the same Mother Earth and under the same blue canopy, we have, through petty prejudices and short-sighted vision, narrowed ourselves into various religious sects and orders. Religion, as the word literally implies, is a way back or a relinking with the source. And instead of vouchsafing liberation, it has, like the proverbial blanket bear, taken hold of us in its iron tentacles, from which it is not possible to escape. And then Master says, to understand the proverbial saying of blanket bear, there was a bear just going down a stream. A man outside saw and took it to be a black blanket flowing away. So he jumped into the stream and, considering it to be a blanket, caught hold of it and found it was a bear. The bear took him in his claws and wouldn't let go. Those standing on the side of the stream asked him to come back. And he said that he would like to come back, but the bear wouldn't let him go. So such is the condition in which people are adrift nowadays. The awakened men revolt at this state of affairs. When both the mosque and the temple, or any other religious places, constitute the house of God and are lighted by the light of God, why and what for should there be so much pother about them? The object of worship in a temple or a mosque or any other religious place is to find the same beloved. When, in spite of apparent differences in form and shape and color, two stones, if struck together, produce the same spark, it is strange that the different types of worshipers fail to produce the same results. It is simply because neither of them has understood real worship. All religions have, as their ideals, self-knowledge and God-realization. But in the very name of these respective religions, the Brahmins and the Sikhs of the Hindus and Muslims, and the followers and heads of the other sects preach hatred and ill will against each other. The institution of paid preachers has in these days converted religious centers into commercialized markets with stock and trade of falsehood and hypocrisy and deceit. The true lovers of God, therefore, dissociate themselves from such a horrible state of things and keep aloof from them. Bulai Shah graphically describes this sad state of affairs in his time. Quote, the dharamshalas, the places of worship, serve as intrapats for the swindlers. And the takar dawaras, the houses of God, serve as the houses of thugs and cheats. Mosques shelter merciless butchers, while the true lovers of God step aside and rest. End quote. The seeds of animosity and hatred between man and man are sown by the very people who themselves are the victims of stark ignorance, and know not what mischief they unleash into the world by their thoughtless utterances. Such persons are styled in the scriptures as manmukhs, or mouthpieces of mind, for they do things thoughtlessly, and their actions are all steeped in and saturated with selfish greed. Their tongues wag, cutting deep chasms right and left into the very vitals of the people, and injecting poison into the wellheads of their minds. And whosoever comes and contacts them and drinks of their words not only catches the infection of discord and disharmony, but, like hounds, become bloodthirsty of their own kith and kin. As opposed to them, there's another class of persons called gurumukhs, or mouthpieces of the guru, and they are the reservoirs of love and lovingly shed the beneficent light of love around their fellow beings. They recognize the essential unity of all humanity, embedded as it is in the root cause of God. Islam calls such people mu'min, and they have regard and respect not only for prophets of Islam, but even for the prophets of all other religions, for they see the essential unifying link that runs through all, and they do not look to the differences in non-essentials. The fundamental truths are common in all religions and point to the same way. Religious truths, whether ethical or spiritual, have a common ideal and a common objective. Namely, that man should first know himself and then develop God knowledge and God consciousness, leading ultimately to the Godhead. The word religion, as the term indicates, is a great binding force that links man back to his Creator, whom he, by his entire absorption in the mundane affairs of life, has entirely forgotten and has become identified with the world. Faith in God and a living contact with God in action, or the Holy Ghost, is the universal religion that has been given to the world by the various saints from age to age. It is eternal and unchangeable for all times. Guru Arjan says that the noblest and the highest truth in all religions enjoins a contact with the eternal and unchangeable permanence. It's because of this that Guru Arjan, while compiling the sacred scriptures of the Sikhs, meaning the Granth Sahib, has collected therein the sayings of various master souls, whether they were Hindus or Mohammedans or Sikhs, without caring for their vocations in life, whether high or low. In it, we find the sayings of Sant Kabir, a weaver, Namdev, a calico printer, Ravidas, a cobbler, Dhanajat, and Sadhana, a butcher. Such godly souls come into the world untrammeled and free, with a specific mission, to wit, the dispensation of the saving grace of the Lord for those who listen to them and follow their teachings. They look after and take charge of their souls, and not of the raiment of the body with its various denominational hallmarks. They tell us of the way out of the body by the process of soul withdrawal, and the way into the spiritual world beyond, by means of a contact with the Holy Ghost or Nam. They come to unite the individual souls with God and not disrupt this relationship wherever it is already in existence. The religious barriers do not stand in their way. In fact, they have love for all religions and actually give life and light to them all, without which they would be dull and drab and lifeless indeed, a corpse without a soul. Guru Nanak, for instance, went on a pilgrimage to far-off Mecca and gave to the Muslims over there as much of his teachings as to Hindus in Benares and Hardwar, the sacred places of the Hindus. Again, there existed fraternal relationship between Guru Arjan, Hazrat Mian Mir, and Bhagat Chajju. Guru Gobind Singh had equal love for Hindus and Muslims and men of all denominations. When he was hemmed in by the Turks on the plain of Machiwara, it was the Muslims who helped him out and saved his life. One Bhai Kanhaya Singh, one of his followers, supplied water alike to wounded Muslims and Hindu soldiers in the field of battle. When complained against by the ignorant Sikhs for his allegedly treacherous conduct, he told the master that as he flitted about on the field with his water skin to quench the thirst of the dying, he witnessed in one and all the same light as was in the master. Quote, "When ignorance is once dispelled, all distinctions between Hindus and Muslims, and in fact all other sectarian people, drop off and vanish like airy nothings." End quote. God is the substratum and the life principle for the entire creation, even of the heretics and the agnostics. As he loves all, so do the saints who are dyed in his own color. Once, Moses sat for a dinner with one who offered no grace before taking the meal. In his heart of hearts, Moses felt a rude shock, but God reprimanded him, for he had no business to be satisfied with one whom he, God, in his unbounded mercy, had provided with food. Such master souls have great love for one and all, no matter if any one of them be the worst of sinners, the most despised and hated by society. No person has a right to address God as Father unless he's prepared to love his fellow beings as his brethren. For all life springs from God, and as such there should be no discrimination between high and low, faithful and heretic. One may not know the Father, and that is a different thing, yet he is born of the Father, and that is all that one need know and act upon. Dear ladies and gentlemen, the subject is long. I cannot dwell on this any more for want of time. I'm simply sending this message to you, which has given you the truth as a naked truth. Those who are awakened people, they will surely appreciate it. This is the real state of affairs which is before us. The only solution to help us out of this state of affairs is to love and love and love God. Love for humanity is love of God. If you put in some love in your affairs at home, there's peace. You put in the same love in your outward relations, there is peace also. For want of this, man is against man, country is against country. The only solution for all this state of affairs is to realize that God is love. Our souls are of the same essence as that of God and are also love. We have to develop this blessed beatitude, which is already innate in ourselves. By developing this, you will concentrate and know the truth, the underlying principles working throughout the creation. So on this birthday anniversary day, I have to give you only one message, and that is of love, love, and love alone. My best wishes go out to you all, my brothers and sisters over in the USA, and in all countries alike. More when we meet again. And again, with love to you all, I close. With love, Kirpal Singh. So that talk was actually given just before Master left on his world tour in 1955. Okay, we're continuing in a talk that Sanchi gave to group six in 1980. This is a satsang on the Sukhmani of Guru Arjan.
ਹੁਣ ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਮੈਂ ਸਭ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦਾ ਆਸਰਾ ਛੱਡ ਕੇ ਪੂਰੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਸ਼ਰਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਇਆ ਹੈ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਸ਼ਰਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਉਣ ਕਰਕੇ ਮੇਰੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਹੈ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਸੁੱਖਾਂ ਦਾ ਸੁੱਖ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਸ਼ਾਂਤੀ ਹੈ
ਗੁਰੂ ਅਰਜਨ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇਡ ਦੈਟ ਆਫਟਰ ਅਬੈਂਡਨਿੰਗ ਆਲ ਦ ਸਪੋਰਟ ਆਫ ਦ ਵਰਲਡ ਨਾਓ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਟੇਕਨ ਦ ਸਪੋਰਟ ਆਫ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਕਮ ਇਨ ਹਿਸ ਰਿਫਿਊਜ ਐਂਡ ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਟੇਕਨ ਰਿਫਿਊਜ ਇਨ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਗਾਟ ਦਿਸ ਸੁਪਰੀਮ ਜੋਏ ਸੁਪਰੀਮ ਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ And the supreme joy is when our soul becomes happy.
Mirtak ko jeeval na hare Ukhe ko devat yaadhar
Hun Guru Sahib is shabd de andar Us Paramatma di mehma bayan karde hai Te dekho jad mata de pet de andar Bachya ek maas da lothda ਦੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਤਿਆਰ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹ ਆਪਣੀ ਜੀਵ ਵਿੱਚ ਰੱਖ ਕੇ ਇਸ ਨੂੰ ਹਰਕਤ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਲਿਆਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਉੱਥੇ ਇਹ ਕੋਈ ਕੰਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਕੋਈ ਮਜ਼ਦੂਰੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਨੌਕਰੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਾਂ ਦੇ ਪੇਟ ਵਿੱਚ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਔਰ ਇਹ ਭੁੱਖਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਤਰੀਕਾ ਇਸਨੇ ਕਰਕੇ ਉਸਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪੇਟ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਅੰਨ ਪਚਾਇਆ ਭੁੱਖੇ ਦੀ ਰੱਖਿਆ ਕੀਤੀ ਭੁੱਖੇ ਨੂੰ ਉੱਥੇ ਵੀ ਰੋਜੀ ਦਿੱਤੀ ਇਸ
ਨਾਉ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਹਿਮ ਗੁਰੂ ਅਰਜਨ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਸਿੰਗਸ ਦੀ ਗਲੋਰੀ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਹੀ ਸੇਡ ਦੈਟ ਯੂ ਸੀ ਹਾਊ ਗੋਡ ਇਜ਼ ਪ੍ਰੋਟੈਕਟਿੰਗ us everywhere. When the child is born, before the birth of the child, he is just a piece of flesh in the womb of mother. He is not able to move himself, he is not able to do any job, he is not able to do anything. But when God puts his soul in that piece of flesh starts moving, and how God has arranged to supply food and everything there, even in the womb of mother, and how he nourishes that baby in the womb of mother also.
Sarva nidan jan ki drishti mahe purav likhe ka lehna paaye
ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਦ੍ਰਿਸ਼ਟੀ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਸਭ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਖਜ਼ਾਨੇ ਹੈ ਸਭ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦਾ ਧਨ ਮਾਲ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਦ੍ਰਿਸ਼ਟੀ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਉਹਦੇ ਕੋਲੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਭ ਦਾ ਦਾਤਾ ਹੈ ਬਾਦਸ਼ਾਹ ਹੈ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਤਨਾ ਹੀ ਪਾ ਸਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਜਿਤਨਾ ਪੁਰਵਲੇ ਕਰਮਾਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਾਡੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਲਿਖਿਆ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਵੱਧ ਨਹੀਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਪਾ ਸਕਦੇ ਜੀ
ਨਾਓ ਹੀ ਸੇਡ ਦੈਟ ਆਲ ਦ ਰਿਚਸ ਐਂਡ ਟ੍ਰੈਜਰਸ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਲਥ ਆਫ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਆਰ ਇਨ ਕੰਟਰੋਲ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਐਂਡ ਗੋਡ ਹਿਮਸੈਲਫ ਹੋਲਡਸ ਆਲ ਦਿਸ ਥਿੰਗ ਬਟ ਵੀ ਕੈਨੋਟ ਗੈਟ more than it is written in our fate whatever is written in our fate according to our past deeds we will get only that much amount from the treasure which god has
sab kich tis ka oh karne jog tis vin dusra hua na ho
ਗੁਰੂ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸਭ ਕੁਛ ਇਸ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦਾ ਰਚਨਾ ਬਣਾਈ ਹੋਈ ਹੈ, ਉਸ ਤੋਂ ਬਗੈਰ ਹੋਰ ਕੋਈ ਦੂਸਰਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਗਾ। ਆਮ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਅੱਜ ਕੱਲ੍ਹ ਦੇ ਯੁੱਗ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਕਿੰਨੀ ਸੈਂਸ ਨੇ ਤਰੱਕੀ ਕੀਤੀ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਸੰਤ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਪੰਜ ਤੱਤ ਦਾ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਬਣਾਇਆ, ਨਾ ਤਾਂ ਕੋਈ ਚਾਰ ਤੱਤ ਦਾ ਬਣਾ ਕੇ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਨੂੰ ਭਜਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ, ਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਛੇ ਤੱਤ ਦਾ ਬਣਾ ਕੇ ਭਜਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ।
Now Guru Sahib says that there is only one God who has created this all creation, and there is no other person, there is no other power whom we can say that he is equal to God or he is like God. God is the unique one and he is the only one who has created this creation. Right now in this present age, the science has progressed a lot, but up until now nobody has made a man made up of four elements or of six elements, as God has made the human body, or the body of five elements. But the scientists, the people have not been able to make the human form of four elements or of six elements.
ਇਸ ਜਵਾਨੇ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਡਾਕਟਰਾਂ ਨੇ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਤਨੀ ਕਿਤਨੀ ਕਮਾਲ ਦਿਖਾਈ ਹੋਈ ਹੈ, ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਮਰੀਜ਼ ਨੂੰ ਕਿੰਨੀ ਸਹੂਲਤ ਦੇ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਜਿਸ ਦੀ ਇਹਦੇ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਦੇ ਆਸ ਉਮੀਦ ਨਹੀਂ ਰੱਖਦੇ ਗੇ, ਉਸਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਦੇਖ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਕਿ ਡਾਕਟਰਾਂ ਨੇ ਕਿਤਨਾ ਫਾਇਦਾ ਪਹੁੰਚਾਇਆ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜਿਸ ਵੇਲੇ ਮੌਤ ਆਉਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਉਦੋਂ ਡਾਕਟਰ ਵੀ ਵਿਚਾਰੇ ਸਿਰ ਫੇਰ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਵੀ ਹੁਣ ਸਾਡੇ ਕੋਈ ਇਖਤਿਆਰ ਨਹੀਂ। ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ, ਵੈਦ ਕਹੇ ਹੋਂ ਹੀ ਭਲਾ, ਦਾਰੂ ਮੇਰੇ ਵਸ, ਇਹ ਤੇ ਵਸ ਗੋਪਾਲ ਕੀ ਜਬ ਪਾਵੇ ਲੈ ਖਸ। ਕਬੀਰ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਦੀ ਬਾਣੀ।
You see that how much doctors have progressed, how much comfort they give to the person who is suffering, and the thing which we have never expected, we can even have that with the help of the doctors. But when the time of death comes, at that time even the doctors refuse to help, and even the doctors say that now this is not in our hands. Kabir Sahib says that the doctor says that I can give only medicine, but the life and death are in the hands of God. This life is the thing of God. Whenever he wants, he can take it. I cannot do anything in that.
ਸਿਰ ਨੂੰ ਫੇਰ ਵੈਦ ਉੱਠ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਆਵੇ ਵਕਤ ਅਖੀਰ ਜਦੋਂ।
Whenever the end time comes, even the doctors refuse and go away.
ਜਪ ਜਾਣੇ ਸਦਾ ਸਦਾ ਦਿਨ ਰਹਿਣੀ ਸਭ ਤੇ ਉੱਚ ਨਿਰਮਲ ਵੇ ਕਰਣੀ।
ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਚਲਦਿਆਂ ਫਿਰਦਿਆਂ ਉੱਠਦਿਆਂ ਬਹਿੰਦਿਆਂ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰਨੀ ਚਾਹੀਦੀ ਹੈ, ਇਹ ਸਾਰਿਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਉੱਤਮ ਔਰ ਨਿਰਮਲ ਕਰਨੀ ਇਹੀ ਹੈ।
He says that whether walking or sitting, whether standing or lying down, or whether talking or doing any other thing, you should do the meditation of Shabad Naam, because this is the highest and purest of all the deeds.
ਕਰ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਜਿਸ ਕੋ ਨਾਮ ਦੀਆ ਨਾਨਕ ਸੂਜਨ ਨਿਰਮਲ ਥੀਆ।
ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਕਿਰਪਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਆਪਣਾ ਨਾਮ ਬਖਸ਼ ਦਿੱਤਾ, ਉਹੀ ਪਿਓਰ ਹੈ, ਉਹੀ ਪਵਿੱਤਰ ਹੈ, ਉਹੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਮਿਲਣ ਦੇ ਕਾਬਲ ਹੈ, ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਉਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਜੋੜ ਦਿੰਦੇ।
Now he says that graciously to whom the masters have given the initiation into Naam, only those souls are pure and high souls, and only those souls are able to take that, only those people are able to take their souls and make one with God.
ਜਾਂ ਕੈ ਮਨ ਗੁਰ ਕੀ ਪ੍ਰਤੀਤ ਇਸ ਜਾਣੇ ਆਵੇ ਹਰ ਪ੍ਰਭ ਚੀਤ।
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਨਾਮ ਮਿਲ ਗਿਆ, ਨਾਮ ਮਿਲ ਕੇ ਜਿਸ ਦੇ ਦਿਲ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਪ੍ਰੀਤ ਆ ਜਾਵੇ, ਭਰੋਸਾ ਵੱਧ ਜਾਵੇ, ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਜ਼ਰੂਰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਔਰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੋ ਅਲੱਗ ਅਲੱਗ ਵਸਤੂ ਨੇ, ਗੁਰੂ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਸਮਾਇਆ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਹੈ।
Now he said that when we get initiation, after that, if the faith for the master comes in our within, then such a dear one can easily realize God, because there is no difference between the master and God. they both are one and the same thing, and when a dear one has that faith, then he can easily realize God.
भगत भगत सुनिए ते हो लोए जान कह रदे एको ए
दे हृदय दे अंदर एक परमात्मा बस जंदा है एक गुरु ते भरोसा आ जंदा है कहन लगे त्रिलोकी तक उस दा जस हुंदा है तिन्ना लोकां दे अंदर उस नु लोक सच्चा भगत सच्चा संत कह के पुकार दे है
इसे दन
उन्होंने हजारों साल इस संसार छ दिन भी क्यों ना होया होवे फिर भी वो लोकां दे दिलां ते राज करदे है
इसे दैट इन हुज हार्ट दैट वन यूनिक गॉड रिसाइड्स एंड इन हुज हार्ट दैट हु हैव द डिवोशन फॉर ओनली वन मास्टर दे गेट ऑनर इन ऑल द थ्री वर्ल्ड्स एंड इवन इफ दे लीव दिस वर्ल्ड They are honored and respected by the people, and they are called as the true saints and true devotees of God.
Sach karni sach ta ki rehat sach hirday sat mukh kahat
ऐसा महात्मा जिदे अंदर नाम प्रगट हुंदा है जो कुछ बोलता है वो सच बोलता है वो सच ही करता है ਉਹਦੀ ਕਹਿਣੀ ਔਰ ਰਹਿਣੀ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੋਈ ਫਰਕ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਬਾਹਰੋਂ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਉਸੇ ਵਰਤਾਓ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿਆ ਹਰ ਇੱਕ ਦਾ ਉਹ ਭਲਾ ਲੋਚਦਾ ਹੈ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਵੀ ਔਰ ਬਾਹਰੋਂ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਦਾ ਭਲਾ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਭਲਾ ਹੀ ਲੋਚਦਾ ਹੈ
ਸੱਚ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਵਿਦਿਨ ਹੂਮ ਨਾਮ ਇਜ਼ ਮੈਨੀਫੈਸਟਡ ਵਟ ਐਵਰ ਹੀ ਸਪੀਕਸ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਟਰੂਥ ਐਂਡ ਵਟ ਐਵਰ ਹੀ ਡਸ ਦੈਟ ਆਲਸੋ ਇਜ਼ ਟਰੂਥ ਵਟ ਐਵਰ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਸੇਇੰਗ ਹੀ ਡਸ ਓਨਲੀ ਦੈਟ ਵਟ ਐਵਰ ਆਰ ਹਿਜ਼ ਵਰਡਸ ਹਿਜ਼ ਡੀਡਸ ਆਰ ਆਲਸੋ like them whatever he is from outside from inside also he is like that means that he is always doing good to other people and whatever he is seen outside in the within also he is like that
sachi drishta sacha akar sach varte sacha pasar
ਉਸਦੀ ਦ੍ਰਿਸ਼ਟੀ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਜਿਤਨੀ ਇੱਕ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਦੀ ਇੱਜ਼ਤ ਹੈ ਉਤਨਾ ਹੀ ਉਹ ਇੱਕ ਔਰਤ ਦੀ ਇੱਜ਼ਤ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਕੰਨੀ ਦੇਖਦਾ ਹੈ ਮਰਦ ਕੰਨੀ ਉਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਹੀ ਉਹ ਔਰਤ ਦੀ ਤਰਫ ਦੇਖਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹਦੇ ਦਿਲ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਦੋ ਕੋਈ ਭਾਵਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦੀਆਂ ਗੀਆਂ ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਕਿ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਵਰਤਾਰਾ ਉਸਦਾ ਸੱਚ ਦਾ ਹੀ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਲੋਕ ਦਿਖਾਵੇ ਦਾ ਸੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦਾ ਗਾ ਉਹ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਬਾਹਰੋਂ ਸੱਚਾ ਹੈ
ਇਨ ਹਿਸ ਸਾਈਟ ਐਜ਼ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਦ ਰਿਸਪੈਕਟ and appreciation for the man in the same way he has the same type of respect and appreciation for the woman he doesn't have any feeling of duality and for him everybody is alike whatever he is saying from outside from the within also he is doing that he doesn't do the good things and the true things only for showing to the people he whatever he does that all comes from his heart his way is of truth
पार ब्रह्म जिन सच कर जाता नानक सुजन सच समाता
जिसने महात्मा नु मिलके उस परमात्मा दी भक्ति की परमात्मा नु हर जगह व्यापक देखिया परमात्मा नु सत समझिया कि परमात्मा है ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਉਹੀ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਮਾ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਦਰ ਤੇ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਸ਼ੋਭਾ ਪਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ
ਹੀ ਸੇਡ ਦੈਟ ਦ ਵਨ ਹੂ ਮੀਟਸ ਦ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਐਂਡ ਆਫਟਰ ਗੈਟਿੰਗ ਨੋਲੇਜ ਫਰਮ ਹਿਮ ਵਨ ਹੂ ਡਸ ਦ ਡਿਵੋਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਐਂਡ ਵਨ ਹੂ ਰਿਅਲਾਈਜ਼ਸ ਗੋਡ ਐਂਡ ਸੀਜ਼ ਹਿਮ ਮੈਨੀਫੈਸਟਡ ਐਵਰੀਵੇਅਰ ਐਂਡ ਵਨ ਹੂ ਹੈਜ਼ ਦ ਕੰਪਲੀਟ ਫੇਥ ਇਨ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਗੋਡ ਓਨਲੀ ਹੀ ਬਿਕਮਸ ਵਨ ਵਿਦ ਗੋਡ ਐਂਡ ਓਨਲੀ ਹੀ ਐਬਸੋਰਬਸ ਹਿਮਸੈਲਫ ਇਨ ਟੂ ਗੋਡ
ਸਾਨੂੰ ਵੀ ਚਾਹੀਦਾ ਹੈ ਗੁਰੂ ਅਰਜਨ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਦੇ ਕਹਿਣ ਦੇ ਮੁਤਾਬਕ ਨਾਮ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਭਰੋਸਾ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ 'ਤੇ ਬਣਾਈਏ ਦਿਲ ਲਾ ਕੇ ਬਗੈਰ ਕਿਸੇ ਆਲਸ ਕੀਤਿਆਂ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਕਰੀਏ ਔਰ ਝੂਠ ਨੂੰ ਛੱਡੀਏ ਸੱਚ ਨੂੰ ਪਕੜੀਏ ਔਰ ਆਪਣੇ ਜੀਵਨ ਨੂੰ ਸੁਖਲ ਬਣਾਈਏ
ਸੋ ਅਕੋਰਡਿੰਗ ਟੂ ਗੁਰੂ ਅਰਜਨ ਦੇਵ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇਇੰਗ ਵੀ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਆਲਸੋ ਡਿਵੈਲਪ ਫੇਥ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਮਾਸਟਰ ਇਨ ਅਵਰ ਵਿਦੀਨ And after taking initiation into Nam, we should meditate on him on it and giving up the false, the unreal things. We should stuck to the truth and we should always be truthful, and in that way make our life successful.
All right, we'll close with Guru Arjan's bhajan, Dhan Dhan Satguru, on page 154. Hail, hail to my Satguru, who reunites the separated ones. I have seen the Master, who is exactly like what I had heard of him. He reunites the separated ones. He saves the soul at the court of God and reunites the separated ones. He makes us meditate on the Nam of God. He cuts the disease of ego and reunites the separated ones. Nanak says, God makes those meet Satguru whose union is preordained from Sach Khand. He reunites the separated ones. Hail, hail to my Satguru, who reunites the separated ones.
Dhan dhan Satguru mera jeda vichariya nu melda. Dhan dhan Satguru mera jeda vichariya nu melda. Chesa Satguru sunida. Chesa Satguru sunida. Teso hi me tita cheda vicharya nu melda. Teso hi me tita cheda vicharya nu melda. Dhan dhan Satguru mera jeda vicharya nu melda. Dhan dhan Satguru mera jeda vicharya nu melda. Vicharya mele Prabhu, vicharya mele Prabhu. Har darga ka basit cheda vicharya nu melda. Har darga ka basit cheda vicharya nu melda. Dhan dhan Satguru mera jeda vicharya nu melda. Dhan dhan Satguru mera cheda vicharya nu melda. Hare namo matrad daida. Hare namo matrad daida. Katte o me rog cheda vicharya nu melda. Katte ho me rog cheda vicharya nu melda. Dhan dhan Satguru mera cheda vicharya nu melda. Dhan dhan Satguru mera cheda vicharya nu melda. Nanak Satguru tina milaya. Nanak Satguru tina milaya. Chanduro piya sanjoga cheda vicharya nu melda. Chanduro piya sanjoga cheda vicharya nu melda. Dhan dhan Satguru mera cheda vicharya nu melda. Dhan dhan Satguru mera cheda vicharya nu melda.
Nanak says, God makes those meet Satguru whose union is preordained from Sach Khand. He reunites the separated ones. Hail, hail to my Satguru, who reunites the separated ones. May God bless us all.